This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our next guest, Becky Orphan. I think she might like rabbits.
I'm guessing that.
Textile design. So first 10 years were kind of fashion-based and very much textile-y. And then, yeah, ended up making giant rabbits for the Immigration Museum.
Short story. So tell our listeners, what is your piece called and what's it about?
My piece is called Bunny Dearest, and it's a giant rabbit.
No, it's not a giant rabbit. It's like a Godzilla.
It takes up a whole room.
And there was this gorgeous little 3 or 4 year old with his dad, and he was frightened to climb up on him.
Oh my gosh, no!
And I went, oh come on, you know, Dad, climb up with him. And so Dad climbed up with him, and David got up there and got a photo.
Very good.
But why? What is it about this? And what I love around the wall as well is all the stickers you've got. Taking us back to another time.
So and the scratch and smell.
Yes. So definitely, I guess it's an ode to my own childhood.
Right.
A lot of my work is quite nostalgic and sort of riffs off the upbringing that I had. So the stickers on the wall are definitely, you know, sort of those.
What you would have in your bedroom.
Yeah, late 70s, early 80s sort of things that I collected, very still influential to me. So I guess when we were looking at themes of joy, I just turned 50. So, you know, I was looking at this idea of as you get older, joy is harder to find. I feel like the ways that you do find joy as you get older, it's either in really small things, so like having the perfect cup of tea, you know, a nice view somewhere or something, you know, those kind of things, or it's these really large kind of unexpected things. So I wanted to create something really large and unexpected that very much brings you in the moment.
How did you come up with this bunny? You know, like what journey did you go on to, you know, I think this is what I'm going to present?
Well, I made a few large soft toys, like over scale kind of soft toys, and I guess soft toys in general, and that sort of whole sort of Japanese kawaii kind of character based kind of thing has always been really important parts of my work. So this is kind of taking it into a third dimension. So I made two other sort of larger soft toys, which were not that big, probably about a quarter the size of that one, and they were definitely aimed at being interactive and I guess a similar kind of thing, and they were really successful. And so I really wanted to make a large one, so lucky the Immigration Museum came along and said, we want you to make a piece based on joy, and I'm like, I know exactly what I'll do.
Describe it to our listeners, because it is really big.
It's big.
And it's beautifully made well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering that for the next year and a bit, people are going to be climbing over it, so you don't want it to fall to bits. It's not going to fall to bits.
No, and that was definitely part of the challenge of making it, I would say. So it is really big. So I did design it to fill a whole room, so one section of the Immigration Museum. So it does literally, it's almost wall-to-wall, edge to edge, yeah.
But it's fun to climb on.
Yeah, so that's the idea. I did want it to be like huggable and climbable and, you know, have these kind of, I guess it's that sort of also like a take on nostalgia and going back to the soft toys and the comfort that they gave you. So this is sort of also another sort of sense of joy.
The soft toys that as a child you would carry with you to the video store.
Hey.
Yes, great connection there. So I guess actually making it, because it is so large and it had to take up and last quite a long time with public interaction. So actually that was the hardest part, was actually getting it made to specific standards. So I worked with a really amazing furniture producer to make it. So it's kind of got a couch type structure.
Yep.
And and also, I mean, the other challenge of making it was we're on the third floor here of the Immigration Museum, and all the doorways are regular sizes.
That was my question. Yes. Like, how did you transport it?
Well, it's modular, so it's broken down into pieces. And Abbas, who made it, who's an absolutely genius, you know, has a really clever mind. He designed it so that it does come apart. It's a wooden structure. It's basically a couch.
Yeah.
And then it's got 20 centimeters of foam on side. So it was constructed, the you know, the wooden structure, we brought it up here, did a fitting of it, took it back out. So, yeah, and then it got its foam layer, brought it back up to, on the install sort of week, and then and actually got upholstered on site. A lot of it, the upholstery. Wow. Yeah, so.
It's beautiful, comfortable foam.
It is great, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So made on site?
Well, I mean, so actually, I lied. Two, like the legs were two separate pieces and they were already upholstered, but like the head, which is huge,
it's huge.
Had to be made in four parts and already had the so then was upholstered on site. So right, yeah, there was there's definitely the head and the body were upholstered on site. Yeah.
So what did you think when you saw the finished product? Did you see it? No, you wouldn't have seen it until it was here.
Well, I did. I got to go to Abbas's warehouse and he's got a huge warehouse because he makes lots of commercial furniture. So I got to see like some definitely work in progress. I got to see the skeleton, I guess, sort of starting to form. Then I got to see the whole part, you know, wooden structure together, and I was like, oh my God, it's gigantic. And then I got to see it assembled here and then partly assembled in the warehouse again with the foam. And then, yeah, so I did get to see it. So, but actually seeing it in a huge warehouse compared to seeing it in this room that is, you know, specifically made for was two quite different experiences. Mm. And so when it came in, it was kind of almost smaller. I don't know. It was such a weird sense of scale, which is also another thing I wanted to achieve. Yeah.
Yeah. And were you worried at any stage that it wasn't going to end up with what you wanted, or did you had confidence in the what was going on?
I mean, it was definitely, yeah. I mean, it was a risky. Putting your vision to somebody else's hands, it's something as you make like a larger works, like that's definitely something that you have to do. I until it was in the building, I was like, oh my God, is it going to turn out how I want it to? But it did. And I guess I did see lots of, you know, different things, stages along the way. So I was reasonably confident it was going to work out.
What was your approach to the face?
Oh, so that's
to getting the right look on the face.
Yeah, so that was definitely, I was very specific about that. I was like, I need to come in and put the face on. So that was, I did go to the warehouse when the face was constructed.
Right.
And got to pin on the eyes because the actual position of the eyes in terms of soft toys and nostalgic soft toys and the toy that I wanted to look like was very specific. So I did go into the warehouse and had giant eyes and eyelashes and nose and mouth cut out and got to pin that on. And then, stayed in the right place.
We mentioned it at the beginning of the chat is the stickers. Yes. And you said it's reminiscent of, you know, like the smell stickers and whatever. Mm. You know, like, tell us, you know, like that process and why and how, which ones you used.
So there's actually, I mean, I was such a collector. I still am collector/hoarder. But let's call it a collector, growing up, I loved, as I said, I mean, that was before, I guess, I loved cute things, still love cute things, and definitely growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, stickers, collecting stickers and sort of, you know, erasers and things like that were really big kind of things. So I actually ended up, like, researching, like, 80 stickers and then found this really amazing Flickr group that was all 80 stickers. So there was one specific company in the US called Sandy Lion. So then I went back and sort of looked at all, and they were all the ones that I kind of used to collect. And so did a deep dive.
Made it to size for you?
No. So then I kind of, well, obviously I couldn't use what they did because that would be completely copyright, ripping them off. So then I just sort of made my own versions and then blew them up to scale and then worked with a sign writer to make them. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to you now that you've seen it in there, like your giant rabbit and bunny, I should say, and with the stickers and just the feeling of it? What does it mean to you?
I mean, I still can't believe that I got the opportunity to create it, for one thing, that the, you know, the lovely folk here at the Immigration Museum, like, yes, that's a great idea. I'm like, thank you. I mean, it's the biggest joy for me is seeing people interact with it and people put on Instagram and, you know, that's just unbelievable for me that I get to make this artwork. And, yeah, it's totally come to fruition exactly how I wanted it to. And, yeah, it is joyous for me.
And do you come in very often? You know, like, do you stand there and, you know, like, look and you get the vibe going on?
I feel like I had a little bit of PTSD, like, post-install. So I was like, okay, after the interview, I need to just leave it alone for a minute. But, I've come in probably every 2 weeks or so, and I still can't believe it. Every time I'm like, oh, my gosh, I made that.
Do you jump on the rabbit every time you come in?
I mean, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
And what about family and friends? Mm. You know, it must be an important and a proud moment to bring them in.
Yeah. Well, I do have two. Well, one's not a teenager, but pretty grown-up boys, and they were like, good one, Mum. So that's pretty cute to get their praise.
They didn't cross their arms and go, no,
they loved it. It was great.
Oh, they loved
it. So, yeah,
it. Oh,
and of
good.
Course, you know, Mum, Dad, well, they were all here and they all loved it too. So, yeah, definitely good for my parents to see it as, you know, in terms of nostalgia and them knowing, you know, my influences and them being, of course, a big part of it. And actually, there's one part, the patchwork quilt design is actually based off a design that my grandmother made, a quilt that my grandmother made.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I read that.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's some definitely family connections there.
Right. Okay. And isn't that important for an artist for that follow through and you know, like, and have that moment of your grandmother?
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, she was just a huge influence, big crafter, definitely, you know, was the first person, I guess, who made craft not as a living but just as a passion, and, you know, that was massively influential on me. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So great to bring it back to that.
We've had a listener in.
Oh, I love that.
And our listener says, sounds amazing.
Thank you.
But they still buy scratch and sniff stickers for their kids.
Oh, yeah, love
still.
That. Amazing.
They
See,
love
they're
the
still
idea.
Out there. Yeah. They're still out there. Those scratch and sniff ones specifically came from our teachers when we did a good job.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Oh, not at my school. I'm going to go back and complain.
I remember you tried to collect the set. Right. Bubblegum was the best one, but I didn't put bubblegum in there. There you go. Yeah.
So here you are, part of this. What, you know, like, how important is it for somebody like you to be part of a collective like this? And what do you think of everyone else's?
For me, it's definitely, like, I guess, one of the biggest parts of my career to date, to be like in an institution, you know, a Melbourne icon. It's pretty great. And yeah, all the other, Callum's work's amazing, Jazz work amazing. So really amazing to be among Nadia's
work. Did you
know
any of them before?
I did, yeah. I did know Nadia downstairs. She's one of my best friends, actually. And Callum, right. I knew, and Jazz, I was familiar with all the artists who are actually in it. And
right.
So it's really nice to see everybody's take on Joy and how different and diverse they all are, and you know, everyone experiences in a different way, and they'd be able to create these experiences, which is great.
That's what I love about it is that and it's, everyone's so different.
You
know,
that's
like,
right.
That's so different. You know, like, you can't go, no, oh, that's a little bit too similar to mine.
No, they're so diverse.
There's
which
no,
is really
no
good.
Other bunnies.
No. No, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming along today, and the sheer fact that what you've created is something very special. And I've asked everyone else, you know, like, it's here for a long time, which is great for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, where can you see it in the future?
What, after here?
Yeah.
Look, we're not talking about that just yet. We don't know where the bunny's going.
You don't know?
No.
Would you like it somewhere else?
I'd love it to go on tour. That's what I'd love it. I'd love it to go on tour and for it to be in other museums or, you know, community centres or libraries or whatever. But yeah, that's really what I'd love for it to see other parts of the country/world. Yeah.
And are you worried about, you know, sticky fingers and all that?
No. We've been through a very rigorous, you know, testing process with the fabric. It's commercial grade fabric. Everything had to be of a standard. So, I'm not worried. Definitely can withstand some hectic dry cleaning or steam cleaning, whatever you do to couches. Yeah.
So one thing you would like, let an audience to take away from seeing your part of the exhibition, is there anything?
I hope one of the things that I was hoping to achieve is that people can be in the moment. And so I think when you're in the moment, that's where joy can come from. And joy is such an individual thing, but I think joy is much easier to come to you when you're in the moment. So that moment when you step into the room and you're sort of overwhelmed, hopefully, happily, by this giant bunny, then that's what I hope that, you know, participants, like viewers, can really have that in the moment.
Certainly a lot of joy as you walk through that doorway.
Yeah, oh, great.
Yes.
Well, Callum actually says that people come into the video store and when they've got little kids and they, you know, dad's trying to explain to the kid about what a VHS is, and they went, Dan, I want to go back in the bunny room.
Sorry, Callum.
Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure.
Becky Orphan, our collector of items, not yes, a hoarder, a collector
yep.
of disciplinary artist, designer and author. It's been great to have your company
thanks
here.
So much.
And I have no doubt that we all look forward to jumping on the bunny many, many
yep.
more times.
As many times as you can until August next year. Yep.
This is Sunday Arts coming to you from the Immigration Museum celebrating their Joy exhibition.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.